Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Good morning, George.
When the fuck have we ever got a chance to say good morning?
I don't know. I've got like bags under my eyes still. I'm drinking coffee. Look at this.
Not even halfway through a Red Bull.
I'm toasting with my Yeti here this morning.
Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Ray Worship Brother George Marjorie.
And Worship Brother Ken.
We're up here at the ass crack of dawn
doing a morning episode.
It's 9 a.m. Eastern time.
And for our Aussies, it is about bedtime.
Yeah, well, hopefully they can stick with us for a little while anyway.
I believe it was Jai who said in Discord,
sing him a lullaby.
Sing him a lullaby. But today's episode, what the hell episode are we on? 233?
233, yeah.
Damn.
Yep.
233, we are covering creating a destination lodge.
Yeah.
Can you maybe give a little synopsis of what a destination lodge would be?
I shall. So it's actually registered trademark by Brother Joseph, Worshipful Brother Joseph Pisani over at Harmony Lodge, who's our current Worshipful Master, and he coined that term. Maybe he got it from somewhere else. I don't know, but I know I got it from him, so I'm giving credit where credit's due. But the idea...
Turn us into a sandals resort.
Yeah, to a certain extent. More or less, yeah. But basically, putting in amenities into your lodge to kind of increase the value proposition to potential members and to your existing membership, right? Have them come into the lodge for other reasons outside of just going to meetings and so forth. And, you know, also having some cool things for brothers to do, hang out after a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of his thing for the year, and he's done a lot of work in that area, and we're going to talk about the potential of doing that.
That's awesome.
In your lodge.
So I'm going to give a brief synopsis after we go through the housekeeping BS, because we have a lot of shout outs to give. But I'm going to go into a brief synopsis on why this conversation was sparked between you and I about a while ago.
Yeah.
What?
Well, you're going to talk about the... the venue where that conversation was had, and that's probably going to lead into some ball busting.
Probably.
That's the illusion here that you're making. But at any rate.
Let's start with, as I've said it before, for whatever reason, Merica doesn't like on Apple reviews giving us a heads up as to when foreign countries give us a five-star review. So I found a couple, and this is on Chartable I had to find.
Yeah, Chartable's pretty good for
Chartable's good for at least giving me everybody. So if I miss you from a country abroad, call me out on it, and I'll look for your five-star review, and I'll read it aloud.
Yep.
But this one comes from, let's scroll down here, Hugh Janus.
Hugh Jameson. That's
Janus.
Huge Janus?
Huge anus.
Oh, I get it now. You clever boy.
Oh, shit. And he's from Canada.
Canadians, they have a sense of humor all unto their own.
Just when I think God hates me, he keeps giving me gifts. Great reading of the Book of Enki. Five-star review. I finished Enki a little while ago, but this is what he had to say. I'm so happy to find this podcast in the reading of the Lost Book of Enki. The host interprets it, reads it and interprets it, what is happening very well. I tried to interpret it as if
Like a,
not mythology, but if like practicality.
Yeah, like an 11-year-old would.
No, not 11-year-old, but if somebody like, so there was a show that used to be on TV, it was called Battles BC. And they talked about like, you know, Moses parting the Red Sea, and they used it in practical military terms of what it, how he actually did it and stuff like that. So they kind of, I don't want to say dumb it down, and but they took the mythology out of it that, oh, you know, the Red Sea was parted by God, which I'm not shitting on religion or your religious beliefs. I'm just saying if you broke it down into a military practical point of view, you know, oh, God parted the Red Sea. Well, did he? Sure. But if you look at it in terms of tides, Moses may have crossed the Red Sea when the tide was low, crossed, and then as the Egyptians were following, the tide came in, and they were all swallowed.
And they saw it as
correct, and they seen it as, oh my God, act of God. Yep. Okay, get it.
Could be.
But so that's kind of what I tried to do with Enki, in the same way of, you know, I didn't look at it as if, I try to look at it as if these Anunnaki were actually people who walked the earth.
Right.
And what would they do?
Yeah.
And how would I see it as if it was just human beings?
Yeah. And why during that time period would certain other people who are viewing these types of events think that these guys are deities or
correct
aliens? Well, because they're doing things that probably kind of defy the conventional wisdom of the time as what's possible by humans.
Kind of. So that's kind of how I tried to interpret. So
I'm surprised you could even read it, honestly.
Believe me, I've read that book twice, and it's a tough read sometimes, especially with the language barrier of Zechariah Sitchin. He's Lithuanian, but he's Jewish, so he reads it not as we would read it, I guess you could say.
No, I get that.
Words were swapped, where they like, I wouldn't have read it that way. I would have read it like this way, but I get it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that this gentleman, Hugh Janus, and enjoy the way I interpret it. I've tried to read and understand Zechariah Sitchin's books before, but couldn't get through them. Yes, he's a tough writer. The host reading and interpretation is a 10 out of 10. Ooh, thank you.
Wow.
It's been 2 days, and I'm already listening to the reading of Tablet 7. What a fantastic story. So many ties to the Old Testament. By the way, the moon does indeed rotate on its axis. I did not know that. I thought the moon was stationary.
No, the moon rotates on its axis. It just rotates in such a way that its one side is always facing us. Yeah. So from our perspective, it doesn't look like it's moving. But yeah,
it's in a tidal lock with Earth. Yep. I did not know that. Yep. See? Listen, and this is my interpretation of things. By no means am I a goddamn scholar or a fucking astrophysicist or anything of that nature. So I'm just kind of going off of, you know, something. Times just what I think. Doesn't mean it's right.
Probably isn't.
Meaning it rotates on its own axis and rotates around the Earth at the rate so that we only ever see one side of it.
That's 100% correct.
The host said at one point that the moon does not rotate on its axis, but it does. Okay. Again.
False.
I eat crow. It tastes like shit, but I do.
Partially incorrect.
That was bugging me. I'm sure it would, especially when you're like, oh, you're such an idiot. I do the same thing with Alex Jones. Also, in Egyptian mythology, similar to Anu, it was Osiris who had his wanker cut off and a fish swallowed it.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of stories from different mythologies that tie into, you know, the Lost Book of Enki and the Tablets of Sumeria. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was also similar to Greek mythology, where Kronos does the same thing to Ouranos. With a sickle to free Gaia from constantly impregnating her and blocking her children from getting out of her womb. There you go. It's another, I mean, damn near similar to...
Yes.
To,
well, I mean,
to the Sumerian mythology.
They picked and chose over time what made the most sense.
Right.
For like their time period, right? So there's shared mythology across all of the ancient civilizations. So it's no surprise.
Did I read this one from Across the Pond, Midlander?
Great Britain.
Top show across the pond.
Maybe.
I'll read it anyway. It's 5-star review. His name is Midlander. Love listening to the Freemasons podcast. It does what it says in the tin. A lighthearted look at the world of Freemasonry with hosts who generally love the fraternity and Masonry worldwide. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. This one's from Kevin S. James. Great show. Thanks for the insight and laughter. Great show. Longtime listener, and because of the show, I now complete my EA on the 26th of February. Yeah, I'm dating back here.
Love to hear that.
In Calgary, AB Canada. Keep
Alberta.
Alberta.
Yes.
Keep it up, and thanks for the insight and laughter, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Our pleasure.
Anytime.
It's great to hear that when a brother is, you know, gets interested in Freemasonry or is about to take their degrees and they're inspired to do so by listening to the show. That always warms our hearts.
This one's from the Crane Guy, Apple Podcast, Canada. Not just another Masonic podcast. I always wait in anticipation for the next episode. George, Joe, and Ken have a great in podcast chemistry. They make you feel like you're hanging out with the boys. Keep up the good work. I love listening. Always leaving with a smile.
Thank you, brother.
I always end up leaving with a rash.
Yeah.
We don't have or to hurt feelings.
That. Yeah. It's usually hurt feelings. We have to go have a beer after.
I'll read one more.
So we had a lot come in since the last episode.
No, these are dating back. I just may have missed them.
Yeah,
this one's from 12/28/21 from Great Britain.
Yeah, they were
the problem
is
Apple doesn't show the five-star reviews that come in from other countries.
Yeah, but you say
I don't know why.
You say that all the time, and then I've told you several times that Chartable aggregates all of them from around the world. It's like you're seeing it for the first time now.
It's not that I'm seeing it for the first time.
I
normally go into the Apple podcast, right, rather than Chartable. So maybe I should go through Chartable from now on. But I always go to Apple, and I just read them. And then later, I'm like, after I leave, I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot to go to Chartable. Yeah.
Now, usually I have that open in a browser tab, and I just check it every once in a while.
I probably should from now on. Yeah. So I apologize. I'll read this last one. This one's from Harry325751. Last one, and then we'll move on with this episode of shenanigans.
Harry Heinous.
Hey, it could be better. His name could be Hugh Jass. Hi, guys. Love this podcast. Been very eye-opening. I have been interested in it for a while for Freemasonry and stumbled upon your podcast. I was hooked. Nice. I have since pledged my interest with a Mason, and I know I am set to join in 2022. Well, I hope you did.
Yeah.
Keep up your great work. Vivat. All right, that's it.
All right,
I'm good. Toast him, Kenny.
All right, brother, right hand, two arms.
Two arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim. Fire good fire, fire all.
Love doing shots of Red Bull.
Together, brother.
Vivat, vivat, vivat. Nothing better than shots of Red Bull.
Oh, man. I'd rather have
blood flowing.
I'd rather have some vodka in there, but honestly, this is it's way too early in the morning for that kind of nonsense. That used to be like when I was on a...
Let's do some caffeine pill rippers while we're at it. God. We'll get this morning started off good.
I can't do that kind of stuff anymore. When I was in my 20s and I was traveling for work to like Vegas or something, like that was when I went out to the bar after. That's what we all drank, Red Bull and vodka. I can't do that. That would just... I would have a stroke if I did that now. Especially at 9 a.m.
All right, so let's get into why this whole Destination Lodge. What?
Want to do Instagram or?
Yeah, do it.
We'll
do that and then we'll get into it.
All right, so over on Instagram, fellas, we got some new followers, which I was finally able to see. Oh, my connected here. We got Danny Fallis, Will Moser, Zoran Nekik. I don't know how to pronounce that. I apologize. Luann Bailey, RLS. It's Square and Common. Oh, Tijuana Masons. Right on. Welcome, brothers. Derek Runge, Logan Childers, Midkits. Words are hard, FMP words.
That's a new one. I love it. I want to know who the son of a bitch who keeps making these things.
They're freaking
hilarious, though. I'm sorry. They're funny. Words are hard.
It's just a pile of books as a profile picture. I love it. Bill DeTozio Ayers, O.T. Noble, Riley Nolan, Randy Gunter, Durrell, Luke Alsop, Phrase Lega, which is it's another Masonic lodge, it looks like, based on the profile picture, south of Seattle, Master DeSanti, John W. Ford, and Bill. Thank you, brothers and friends.
I hope that whoever's making all these little freaking, like, joke pages like Bounty Hunter Degrees and FMP Borgs. And I hope that eventually they come forward because I would love to have them up here just to talk about like all the freaking shit that they've done and why they're doing it, because I think it's freaking hilarious.
Nobody's owned up to it either.
No, nobody owns up to it. But it...
I thought it was the Schultzes, honestly, for a while, because they're very creative like that. But I don't know.
It's freaking hilarious. Yeah. I die laughing. And I'm sure there's got to be some copycat out there who's doing it now, like making extra pages. Well, it's probably like a
taking
slew
up the
of
mantle.
People.
Yeah,
it's freaking funny as hell, though.
Yep, I'm enjoying it.
All right, Ken.
Yeah,
time to shit on you a little bit.
Okay, I'm
we ready. Had a conversation at your gun club.
Yes, we did.
When we were sitting down having a beer, and my son was being a pain in the ass because he wanted to go get his new phone.
Mm-hmm.
But we were having a light conversation, and I said, you know, well, we were now, mind you, do you want to describe your gun club first?
Overall venue. It's a private club in the hills of Connecticut. I forget how many acres total, but there's several ranges. We've got a very large trap field, which is a shotgun clay sport for those who might not know. We have a skeet field as well, which is another clay sport. We have a rifle range, 100-yard rifle range, with probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 different ports, covered ports. We've got a pistol range, outdoor pistol range as well, and we've got several plate shoot areas and Texas tree and that kind of thing. So it's a pretty large club, and we've got a clubhouse on site and a bar. Obviously, if you're going in and drinking, you do not go back out on the range. It's safety. Safety is a huge, huge priority there, which is why I'm a member of that club. Correct. I really do love it. Yeah.
So we went up there and we did our FMP second range
marksman
day.
Challenge, I guess.
And then we did our second range day. And the first, part of it is I want to take my son to go shoot his little 20-gauge shotgun. He ended up hooking up with a couple of guys who were there, and they were skeet shooting, and they took my son under their wing, which, shout out to those guys, man.
Yeah,
I'm not a skeet shooter.
They love doing that kind of thing. If there's a kid that wants to learn how to do a clay sport, like, they're always going to teach you.
Yeah.
Right?
I love that. For those who don't know what skeet shooting is, it's basically clay pigeons. They're clay discs that shoot out of a high house and a low house, and it simulates shooting at duck, bird.
Yeah, pigeons or
pigeon,
whatever.
So I'd never done it before. I'd say I probably did trap when I was a kid. Same thing with my father. Shot a 12-gauge shotgun, shot the, And then trap is pretty much the same thing, except it just shoots out.
And you don't really move.
Move or anything. Yeah. Whereas skeet, you go from station to station, and it becomes harder. You got to work with angles because, you know.
Yeah, so the clay is going the same direction every time.
Yes.
But because your angle on the clay changes, that's what makes the game fun, yeah.
Right. So they took my son under his wing. You know, I got to shoot, too. I didn't get my balls busted.
Your tactical shotgun, 12-gauge pump.
Hey, I was hitting them some bitches, though, weren't I?
you can still play the game with a gun. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's not choked, so it's just your freaking shot goes everywhere. I don't know what you had for loads. Were you using, like, target loads?
Target
loads. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not like buckshot or anything.
No.
You can still play
if you
the
hit
game.
One of those son of a bitches with a buckshot.
It just vaporizes. If you can hit
it. If you can hit it.
Yeah, exactly. Which
you got to be one
won't.
Crack shot to hit it.
Yeah, no.
At one point we were shooting pistols and just having a good old time. And then we went over to the steel range, Ken.
Yes.
And that was our competition. Shooting. And we have some video of that.
Do we?
We have video. It was sent to me and it has been saved to my phone.
Oh. Okay.
And at some point when Ken finally, swallows his pride and puts up the that's up the
I
video.
I can do it this afternoon. I'll put it up on YouTube this afternoon. It'll be unedited. Okay.
I think we'll put it to Patreon first.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll put it to Patreon first, so that all of our Patreons and Discords can enjoy.
Yes.
And then eventually we'll migrate it to YouTube.
Yeah.
I'll upload
it to Discord.
It's gonna be a while.
For a convenience, so the brothers can see it. But yeah, it was not pretty. At least on my side, it was not pretty. What was I using anyway?
You were using
your gun.
You were using your 9mm first for the first one, and then you used mine the second time, my Glock.
That's right. That's why I was so embarrassed.
And then I went to the 45.
Right. Yeah.
While you were using my Glock.
Yeah. I mean, I like your Glock. It's not a bad 9mm. I kind of changed my opinion on Glocks, which I guess was a silver lining of that entire outing because, I couldn't hit anything with my 9, which is sad. I am way out of practice with that pistol. If I had my 22 pistol,
you were like Steve Buscemi in Mr. Deeds. Remember, he had cross eyes. He's always ordering pizza.
Oh yeah. Both eyes in business for themselves. It wasn't no. My. I don't know what I was doing wrong.
So we'll move on from this, and I think I've kicked you enough.
Yeah.
But we were having a conversation inside, and one of the things I had said was, "See, this is what Freemasonry should do.
Yeah,
they need to have some sort of a social club with a bar and activities and stuff like this as a destination for Freemasonry to go." Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm bringing this up, is because, you know, we talk about how Freemasonry is losing its members and losing ranks and everything, and I find it more prevalent with the past masters. Masters and people who've already done the Master Mason degree who don't want to move on to appending bodies and don't want to take an officer's chair, mm-hmm. you lose them. And my personal opinion is we're losing them because we're not giving them anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do. You come to Lodge, you come once or twice a month, you sit there, you listen to minutes, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Some Lodges don't even have dinners, or they bring up pizza. Who the fuck wants pizza, you know, every time they come up here?
No, you got to do something better than pizza.
You got to do something better than pizza. Like, sometimes there's larger, elaborate dinners for degrees, and people will show up for you know, EAs and fellow crafts from time to time. But eventually they don't, because there's nothing to do, especially if they're not taking a part. They're watching it, and then that's it.
Yeah. We had a former Grandmaster that was up here on the show, if you recall.
Yeah.
Who hung out with us, and we signed some T-shirts for him.
Ah, yes. Right?
Now, his whole thing, like his term for his year was Mudita, right? Which was, one of the things that he talked about on the show, though, which always stuck with me, is the fact that, you know, men join Freemasonry for a number of different reasons, and if you're not catering to all of them, then you're not doing your job as a lodge.
Correct.
Because clearly, if they stop coming, they're missing out on something, like you just said, so...
Yeah,
and that stuck with me. I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, there's we have a value proposition that we make to the people who are joining. They wouldn't be joining if there wasn't. And if you don't follow through on that promise, that implied promise, then they're not going to come back.
Let me just explain this. All right, and I know there's going to be people that are going to be like, Freemasonry is not a social club, and they're going to get all pissy about it.
Yeah,
but let me explain. Okay, do you have the VFW.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Polish-American Club. You have down the road, I think there's the Russian-American Club. You have the Slovak Club, literally right over there.
Albanian Social Club.
Yeah. I mean, you got the Slovak Club, and it's got pool tables, it's a bar, they got TVs. And I know the thing is, it's like, well, Freemasonry, let me just give an example. We do table lodges, okay? But we also have something on the wall right behind this camera over here that is a bottle club thing, because they don't want alcohol much. And does alcohol, or should it run or be part of a Masonic lodge? Absolutely not.
No,
there should be no alcohol inside a lodge.
Nope,
none whatsoever. But part of that alcohol, part of that fellowship does most times involve either cigars or alcohol.
Yeah.
And how do I put it? Before, there were some lodges that went to a bottle club, which is why, you know, Morningstar is a bottle club. I think yours is a bottle club.
Harmony is as well.
But there are some lodges, and I don't want to give a destination because it kind of gives it away, that refuse, oh, we're not doing that. We're just going to not have alcohol in our lodge.
Yeah.
And they used to have very, very large table lodges where people from all over the state.
Oh, so did they not serve alcohol?
They stopped serving alcohol at the stable lodge.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't want it in the building at all.
Right.
And you watch a table lodge of roughly 100, 200 people show up, Masons show up, to now they don't have anybody show up. It's only the main lodges.
Yeah.
So, and I understand that, you know, the thing is Freemasonry is not a bar or not a social club. But however,
it shouldn't be about alcohol.
It shouldn't be. But maybe you can Google search these images.
Yeah.
And we can put them up in the thing. And we kind of talked about this.
Yep.
That, you know, historically, Freemasonry got its start in bars, in taverns. I mean, the first meeting of the lodges was at the Goose and Gridiron.
Yes, it was.
Which was a...
It was a tavern.
The Boston Tea Party got kicked off. at a Masonic lodge, but in a place called the Green Dragon Tavern, which was a
Tavern.
Bar.
Yeah.
In the lodge, St. Andrews, met right above it. Yep. I think it was St. Andrews number 2. So to sit there and say that, like, Freemasonry is not intertwined. No, I'm talking about the old, like, 1900s photos of, like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
No. Table Lodge photos from the 1900s?
Is no, not Table Lodge. Okay. Type in Freemason, vintage Freemason posters.
Yeah.
And I'll show you what I'm talking about.
Let me Google that for you.
Whoa. No. Scroll down. Let me see if I can
Hold
find
on,
it.
I'm gonna
what
look
the
at this
hell
really
is
I don't know,
that?
But I'm enjoying it.
Oh, God.
What? Where is this stuff coming from? What is... What?
Yeah. Scroll down.
What?
We're looking for this posters, what? Folks. And you can see, yeah, that's not Freemason shit.
Maybe your search history is different than mine.
All right. Maybe type in... let's try Freemasonry.
Yeah, so these
at
are the
refreshment.
These are those old, like,
yeah, those
you know,
are
the
old
Masonic family type
yeah,
posters.
Yeah.
And
type
stuff.
In Freemasonry at refreshment. We're gonna find these photos here, folks. But they're like old 19. I would say they're from like there. You go, right there. Are you a
yeah,
Mason?
These
Boom.
Are,
click on
so
that.
Those are actually postcards. But yes, this
postcards.
From,
okay, yeah. All right. And there's a bunch of them others, but for
oh,
now,
yeah,
just put that. Just put that one up for now.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we'll go from there. We found the image, but I mean they're old Freemason postcards, but you'll see when as soon as Ken puts this up, that was part of the enjoyment of Freemasonry is you know going to refreshment, hanging out with your brothers, you know.
Right.
Having a drink, going down to the tavern. I mean, I think it's pretty cool that Morningstar Lodge appears right above Jimmy's, which is a tavern, bar, whatever you want to call it.
Most lodges don't have that opportunity. No. I think that's a great opportunity, the fact that you guys have like a really good restaurant run by good people
yeah.
right below your lodge.
And,
like that harkens back to a previous era.
And truthfully, we go downstairs, we're all in suits and we're in tuxedos, and it catches people's attention. What
yeah.
the hell are these
and
guys
we,
doing?
And we don't get loaded, right? Like we're still respectful.
No,
and, you
know, no.
Polite and like, you know.
Right.
So.
And realistically, like we go into... just put it over Old Glory, I guess.
Yeah, I
you don't have to put it over our face, but if you want to, you can put it over your face.
I want people to be able to see.
Shame. But, you know, we go downstairs and we're in tuxedo and we're in suit. That's the first thing people ask. Like, oh, what are you guys all about?
Yeah.
And there's your fish hook, if you will, for getting people to join. Granted, people will sit there and say, well, bars really aren't the best place to recruit. Yeah, not the drunk guy who's spitting his teeth out on the bar. No, that's
yeah.
probably not your...
yeah.
That's probably not your...
target.
Your target guy. Yeah. But, you know, there's going to be people that are just hanging out, having dinner, having a drink, that are totally fine. They're not screwed yeah. up. They're not jacked up. They're not, you know... So, this right here, you're seeing an image. It says, are you a Mason? And it says, from labor to refreshment. And this is... What are they doing?
I don't know. They all have red noses, like they're like heavy, like super alcoholics, and they're all running toward the bar. But
this is just an example. Like yeah. this is showing they're all running to the bar. Like they're done with lodge. They're still yeah. in the regalia, but they're heading to the bar for a refreshment. That's what they're going to do,
to socialize.
Yeah. You want to bring up another image? You see?
Yeah, I can do that.
I know. I'm making you work. I'm sorry,
no,
Ken.
That's all right. That's the job.
I'll give you a raise.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
Just do the same thing. Type in labor and refreshment. Go click on that picture, and there's a bunch of them below it. But these are all vintage photos of, like, our postcards, you said, right?
These are postcards, yeah, from yeah. probably the early 1900s, I would imagine, although I can verify that date.
And I'm not saying that these postcards are running to refreshment and all that stuff was the
it wasn't the hook. I mean, there's a lot of these
wasn't
different
the
types
hook.
Of postcards.
How about
right?
that one right like, there that says, are you a Mason? What does that say next to it?
The grip?
No. To the left. Up.
The passing.
Up. Right there.
The raising. It's like toasting.
Toasting, yeah. It's three masons standing there, you know, tipping their glasses back, the raising of a master mace.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah. What the hell did you go to?
I was, like, looking for the image. I'll just do this.
Yeah, just copy and save the picture. I just wanted to just go on and say, like... You know, these postcards are from the 1900s, And what time, Ken, really, if you're going to pick a time period of the boom time of Freemasonry, where there were, you know, I mean, we have pictures, you know, on our lodges and stuff of a time period where, I mean, there was the third district picnic.
Oh, yeah.
There was like 400 or 500 people there.
Yeah.
And what time period was that from?
That was probably the 40s or it was early 1900s.
Early 1900s, yeah. Right? When these things were coming about, because... Yeah. Not saying that, and again, I'm not condoning the alcohol part of it, but I am talking about, like, this is kind of what Freemasonry needs to do. At mm-hmm. least in my opinion, is they should have some sort of a social club or a, what the hell is our podcast episode called? Destination Lodge.
A Destination Lodge.
For Masons to go hang out and have a place. I mean, the Shriners got it right, in a sense, where they have their own Shriner bar.
Well, that's actually why they started the Shrine. Like, they wanted, you know, it's the concept is like the playground of Masonry, right? So they wanted something that was a little bit less formal.
But why does it have to be tied? Social. But why does it have to be just tied to the Shriners? Why can't Blue Lodge do something like that?
No, there's no reason why they can't. It was just back then membership was so high. It's like, we're just going to create a whole new organization for this because you could do that, right?
Yeah, right.
You
right,
could
right.
still get like 1,200 members, right, for right. for that chapter or whatever. So, yeah, nowadays it's you have to kind of work with what you have. You're not right. always going to be able to recruit from, you know, a Blue Lodge that has declining membership to join right. some appendant body which may already exist. You make the Blue Lodge better. Give the Blue Lodge those assets. There's no reason why you can't have more social functions or amenities at your Blue Lodge.
Now, in this respect, I'm going to probably get my ass chewed out for this one, or somebody's going to call me on it. Grand Lodges need to loosen their grip a little bit and allow lodges to do stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the jurisdiction, I guess. Right?
Well, it doesn't depend on the jurisdiction. If a Grand Lodge has an iron fist around the throat of their lodge, right. and the lodge wants to do something like this, and Grand Lodge is like, nah, you can't do that. You know, the lodge is trying to do something to better improve its membership and its mm-hmm. its renown, I guess you would say. You know,
yep.
we're talking about, I mean... Give it a perfect example of just what we do up here at the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, we caught a hell of a lot of resistance in the beginning. They wanted to shut this shit down like crazy.
Yeah. Well, it was...
It wasn't until a said Mason started sending screenshots of all the people talking about joining the Mason
yeah,
to a certain individual, and that shut him the fuck
up. It was also a new thing, right? it involves technology, right? Like, change is hard,
I'm
right? But as soon as they kind of see...
Bitter ass.
Well, yeah. But as soon as they see what these types of things are about, they tend to be a little bit more progressive about it, I think. And we're not talking about like setting up a bar in the lodge,
per se,
for brothers, if they want to bring alcohol in a legal way, that's within
I'll give
the
letter you an
of the law and responsible, they can do it because that's what that fosters socialization.
I would give you an example. Okay. It didn't play out this way, but let's say it played out. Okay. As we know, the owner of the building, Jim Principe, he passed away.
Yep.
The owner of this building, he passed away. His wife doesn't want the building anymore, and I believe, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, let's just say, now Morningstar up here, we do not have a, what do you guys have? Temple Board?
Temple Corporation.
Temple Corporation. We don't have any of that Morningstar. All of our business runs through the lodge and personally, I've already had this conversation with you about it. I don't believe in temple boards. Everything mm-hmm. should be run through the goddamn lodge where every member of the lodge has the vote and the right to speak their mind.
Yeah. Well, the only reason we have one is because we have three bodies.
I know.
Right?
I know. But there are lodges that are literally, they own the building. Yeah. They own the building.
Yep.
They still set up a temple court and there's nothing else inside the freaking building besides the lodge.
Yeah,
that to me is a consolidation of power amongst a handful of brothers that are on the board and want to run the show.
Yeah,
neither here nor there.
There may be like reasons that you might want to do that. I don't want to completely shit on the concept. Like maybe it's like a shell corporation, right? So maybe it's for like tax reasons or whatever. But yeah, it does kind of cause that issue where there's like a small clique of brothers that are making control decisions for the entire facility. Which,
So I firmly believe that everything should go through the lodge. All business should. You want to set up a temple court to run the business aspect of it? Cool. Whatever. Buy a cow.
Buy buy a cow? What does that mean?
He's just saying buy stupid shit, I'm assuming. but if you want to have a temple court to run the business aspect of the building, it's fine. But the lodge should tell that temple court what to do. Right. That's my personal opinion. The temple court should just be a name, face, LLC, and insurance policy. That's it. This way it keeps the lodge away from any other thing. But I digress. This building's up for sale. What if Morningstar was like, we want to buy it, and we want to keep Jimmy's downstairs. We want to buy the Masonic. We want to buy the bar downstairs. We'll name it the Mason Jar.
Yeah.
And keep it as a bar, open to the public, but a social setting for Masons. We would Mason it the fuck out.
Yeah. So
the light just randomly turned on. Yeah, I know that happened. But and keep it, you know, underneath the umbrella of the lodge.
Right. But now you become a landlord, so that changes things because now you're leasing space. Well, no, unless you guys are going to own and operate the bar.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm talking about. And right. Part of that owning and operating of the bar is when, first off, you have to be in the great state of Connecticut. How old do you have to be to join to be a Freemason?
You guys still have to be, you got to be 18.
18.
Yeah.
As an 18-year-old, what can you do?
Nothing. Go to war.
No. No. Nope, no. Nope. And can't smoke consume cigarettes. Alcohol, but you can
serve it.
Serve alcohol.
Oh, can you really?
Yes, you can.
Oh, I thought you had to be 21.
So now, if we're talking about getting new prospects through the door, being that we are supposed to require EAs to show interest in Freemasonry, what do you do with that 18, 19, 20-year-old, 40-year-old guy who wants to join Freemasonry? You make his ass come down to the bar and you bartend a couple freaking nights or bus tables or something.
Yeah.
You see what I'm doing here, Ken?
You're a bar back now. Congratulations. I don't know if I would go quite that far, but yeah, it's a good idea.
I'm just saying. Yeah. And on top of that, now you're getting people to come in. You're getting, you know, people, Mason Lodge, Mason Bar. Let's go check this out. You know, like, I was interested in Freemasonry. I didn't know they had a bar that I can, because we have this persona as Freemasons that we're behind closed doors and you can't come up here and talk to us.
Right. Right, which because is something that needs to change.
Because we'll shiv you with the freaking Tyler sword. Yeah. No, that's not the case.
Yeah.
So now if you have this, it's the same concept as when Connecticut was doing an open house shit.
Right, but it's like a permanent open house. Like, come and talk to us.
Yeah, here it's a permanent open house at your convenience, not when we decide you're going to have an open house. You can come in, talk to us. Masons are there. You require a dress code, which would be a slacks and a sport jacket.
Yeah, you got to be,
come in respectable. Which so now we're not getting freaking drunk Larry.
Right. But I think, right, but you know what? The types of people that you might want to recruit, not recruit from, because we can't recruit, but the types of people that you would want to join the fraternity are probably the type that are going to go and be like, you know what? I'm going to get dressed up tonight, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to, you know, I'll go to this bar. These guys all, you know, they seem like-minded men. They're all dressed respectfully. They're having good conversations. Maybe that, you know, that's like a prime, I can't say the word recruiting.
But no, I don't call it recruiting. I call it fishing.
Right. Well, it's prime fishing territory then.
It is.
But I mean, yeah.
Create your own watering hole. And
yeah. I like that idea. It's tough to do. Costs money.
Here we go. Justin Michael.
Sometimes a lot of money.
Justin Michael. I would go to a Freemason bar for sure if there was one in my area. I'm not a Mason, but I have worked for some of my entire life, and I'm interested in your guys' literature. Hmm. All the Masons I know don't. Oh, I'm assuming that's the end of his statement. He's talking about, there's no Freemason bar. And it doesn't, okay, take the freaking alcohol out of the damn thing.
Well.
You know, you can.
So there probably are Mason bars like this. I know of at least one. One of my coworkers went to, I think he was in Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
And there was like a restaurant.
Right.
That was all Masonic themed, but I don't think it was run by Masons. I think it was just kind of like a conspiracy theory kind of bar type thing or whatever. But he brought me a magnet and it had the square and compasses on it. And I was like, wow, that's a cool idea. It would, I wish it was run by Freemasons because.
Right. But you get,
you know, but
you're going to get, you know, you're going to get a Grand Lodge or, you know, they're going to start, you know, tearing through the, I don't know, Freemasonry shouldn't be involved with bars. And what? You've seen the postcards.
Yeah,
you know the history. We've always been involved in taverns and inns and all kinds of, we've been part of this. This is kind of like where we got our grassroots,
right,
in a sense.
And so I think there's a way to do it in without devolving into
go Clandy
immorality. No.
I'm kidding.
I mean, like, just like you said, it has a dress code. All right. It's a respectable bar. The types of people that are going to put a sport coat on and come into a bar are probably not the type that are going to brawl, you know, hit each other with bar stools and stuff and get you shut down or get you, you know what I mean? Because as soon, right, as like police get involved and stuff like that, like, you know, then Grand Lodge would be fully within its rights to be like, yeah, I don't know, like, probably shouldn't be running a freaking dive bar.
Again, you'd want
so
it to
you
be
gotta
a,
keep it classy.
You'd be
you
an upscale thing.
Rules of decorum and
rules
stuff
of decorum like and stuff like that. And, you know, and I know it's kind of like cliche or not cliche. I don't know. It'd be a sore spot, but, you know, people are like, ah, it's only for men then. No, it doesn't have to be. You can bring your wives, girlfriends, or, you know, women can come in too.
It's just a bar.
Just a bar. Yeah. In the end, it's just a freaking tavern for a bunch. I mean, girls can go there and pick up freaking dudes if they want.
Or just go and
have
a nice, quiet
night. You don't have to be lonely at Freemasonry.com.
The mason jar.
But I'm just making a point, though. Like, it's still, in a sense, a bar. But it's a place where young men who wanted to join Freemasonry, young men, old men, want to freaking men.
Well, there's a lot of women that are interested in Freemasonry, too.
Sure.
I can see them wanting to go to a place like
of
that.
Of course.
I was getting blood drawn for, like, my physical, and the nurse that was doing the blood draw saw my ring, and she's like, oh, you're into the Masons? I'm like, I am a Mason. I'm like, you can't just go around wearing this ring. No, it's fine. It's just an advertisement for freaking something. Pop-up ad. And she was like, yeah, well, you know, I know a couple Masons. I didn't know, like, this is the first time I've ever, like, had a patient that was a Mason. He was asking me all kinds of questions and stuff. She would go to a bar like that.
Right.
Interested in the fraternity.
Justin Michael, don't put any signs or advertising at the bar. The only people that will be there are Masons and people at Masons. Right. Now, see, I don't know.
Then it becomes a private club.
It's a
different.
And I don't want it to be a private club because, I mean, realistically, we got all this space over here on the inside that you guys can't see. You know, we could do the same damn thing over there. Just put up. We got to actually have a. We have a small little wet bar over here. You know,
yeah.
Just set it up and do a freaking
bar.
Not
a wet bar. Bar has us.
What is it called?
Just a bar.
Just a bar. Okay,
dry
whatever.
Dry
bar. Whatever the fuck it is. It's a bar. We could set that up over here and do it up here in the lodge. And because we're a bottle club, we could just do that. I mean, you guys have the same thing similar at in Waterbury.
Yep.
So, I mean, we'd want it to be, and again, I wouldn't want it to be invite only for Masons. Just,
right. But you don't have to, I mean, I like where he's going. You don't
have to,
like, you know, canvass the entire, you know what I mean?
No,
like, you don't
have to go
into competition with the other bars in the area. Like, it should just kind of be an organic kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's open to the public, but
open to the public,
you also got to, like, show up looking not like a smashed bag of ass to get in.
Right.
And if you're looking to get loaded, this is not the place for you because we'll cut you the hell off.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, bartenders should cut people off. I mean, in the state of Connecticut, I mean, the law basically states that the bartender is liable if they freaking, or you can be sued or get in trouble if you let somebody leave the place completely pie-eyed and drive their car home.
Right. And we're not like, this would not be a money-making venture. I mean, obviously it would make money, but we probably wouldn't be looking to make, like, ridiculous profits. Like, we're not in it for those same reasons.
I mean, realistically, if you look at it from a business aspect, even if you did make ridiculous profits off it because of it being a bar and being an establishment and people are coming to pay for drinks, there's your offset for your dues or your lodge expenses.
Yep.
On a daily basis and not just one thing at a time.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We're going to raise some money doing a freaking, you know, spaghetti or a chili cook-off or something.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another one called Joe's Bean Soup, too. That's freaking.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one. Yeah. Better than Joe's Bean Soup or something.
Yeah. But there you go. That's an offset, you know, an income for your lodge, you know, that you can use to offset dues or buy regalia or, you know, pay for the building. It's an income.
Yep.
In a sense. I mean, it's not what your main purpose of it is. But think about this, though. Even if you do this whole adventure of getting a tavern, making it a Masonic theme. People come. They want to join the Masons. Oh, this is where we go to join the Masons. We can meet them and all that stuff. And it's a neutral setting, in a sense, mm-hmm. for Masons to meet the John Q. public who wants to join Masonry but doesn't really know how to. You hand out petitions. You get these members to join. Guess what? Now they're dues-paying members of your freaking lodge. So now it's a double income, if you think about it. You get an income from the bar, but now you're also getting income from Masons or men joining Freemasonry, paying their dues and becoming part of it. And it's something for your Masons in your lodge, especially your past masters and your Masons that have been around the horn, or the Masons that just wanted to take the Master Mason and just wanted to join for the fraternity of it, or the... This is something for them to do.
Yeah, it's something for them to be proud of, and you've got a whole new... you're basically like creating Masonic jobs, if you will, right? You're giving brothers other opportunities. They're like, oh, okay, I'm not into esoteric Masonry. I'm really not into like leadership and stuff. I'm not good at ritual. I don't want to like join the line.
Yeah.
But hey, I can go downstairs and work the bar.
Yep.
I can do all of the paperwork and the books or whatever for the bar.
Run trivia night.
Run trivia night or whatever. Or, yeah, do some kind of event down there.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea. I like the idea.
This is something to do rather than just showing up your 2 days. I mean, let's be real. Some Masons don't even show up 2 days a month.
Right.
They don't.
Yeah, and in a tavern or restaurant bar type thing is generally going to operate 7 days a week or thereabouts, right? So if they can't show up on the meeting night, well, they can show up on a Friday night and go down and meet with the brothers down at the bar.
Let's just use me for an example. I haven't been very active in lodge in any of my appending bodies or anything in quite some time. Why? Because of my job. My hours are all over the place. I never know what my schedule is from week to week. And by the time I'm actually free... To go, I don't got to do anything tonight. It's lodge night. I'm wiped.
Yep.
I'm tired, or I'm running around, or I'm seeing my kids, or I'm doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to go to lodge tonight. But now you have this thing where you have, let's just say, a location that's open 24/7, but, you know, bar hours, where if I want to go see the brothers, I'm going to go hang out down there. I go down there and hang out.
Yep.
I don't have to drink, but I can just see the brothers as they come in randomly here and there.
Yep.
I can meet new recruits, you know? And what you could do if you're a Mason, you put a pin on.
Yeah, and you also can talk to people
in
free.
Put a flower in your hair to identify you.
A forget-me-not, perhaps.
Put a forget-me-not in your hair to identify as a Freemason so that people can come in and be like, oh, see that guy over there wearing the lapel pin? He's a Mason.
Yep.
Bingo. Or even the ring. The ring.
Yeah.
The ring could be the identifier.
Yep. So we did something similar in Harmony recently. Worshipful Brother Joe kind of championed the refurbishment of our library.
Okay.
Right? So the library was just kind of we've got built-in bookshelves and stuff, and we've got historical books on those shelves, but it just kind of became, over time, a dumping ground for, files and paperwork for Temple Corps and
garbage.
Yeah, there was crap everywhere, and it was set up. It was it was like a boardroom. We had a big long table in the center of the room, which took up most of the usable area in the room. We just had chairs around it, and we had fluorescent bulb, like old industrial lights, like these things that were just oppressively bright.
Right.
It was not like a pleasant place to like go, and if you wanted to get a book out of there or something, or donate a book, it was everything's dusty and it just kind of decayed over time. So over the summer, Worshipful Brother Joe and a bunch of other brothers went up there and took it upon themselves to completely clean the whole place out, organize all of the books, get that big table out, and we got very cheap, or in some case free, furniture. Nice leather chairs, big leather couch, a nice area rug, oriental area rug. They painted the walls this billiard green color, rehung all of the photos and paintings and stuff, and found some other ones in storage that hadn't seen the light of day for a long time that were really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was there's a I believe it was the guy who we named the library after, Nelson J. Welton. I think it was his Master Mason's certificate, the old diplomas that you used to get when you were raised.
Right.
He was raised the day that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated.
Oh, wow.
We happened to see the date and we're like, wait a second. and looked it up, and he was raised on the day that Abraham Lincoln was. So that, like, these kinds of things, like, we never even really knew. They were just, like, in, you know, closets and stuff around the lodge. So we hung them up on the walls. There's an old, you know, old musket up on the wall that one of the brothers donated. It looks like a lounge, like a really nice, well-appointed, respectful lounge. Mm. We're allowed to bring, you know, responsibly, you know, consumed beverages up there. Mm-hmm. So we have coasters and stuff, and you can, you know, you can go down to your liquor locker and bring up, you know, a glass of bourbon or something. We've got a couple chess boards and some other games. So, you know, if you want to play a game of cards or have a game of chess or something like that. And basically what ended up happening is after all of that was done, now you start having brothers show up that have keys to the lodge anyway because they're officers or have access because they're members. And they're just going up to, like, hang out in the library.
Right.
And then we have, like, our group text and so forth. And somebody be like, hey, well, I'm going up to the library. They're saying, oh, yeah, I've got nothing going on. And then pretty soon you've got, like, five or six brothers that aren't going there to have a meeting and pay bills.
Right, right.
They're just going to hang out at the library.
Right.
And socialize. Mm-hmm. Some of them aren't even drinking. Some of them are just reading books.
And I really think that, you know, and this is why I, when they did the whole bottle club shit, it actually pissed me off. I get why they're doing it. It's the liability and
right, it's
all
for legal
that.
Reasons,
I get that. But, I mean, there are, you know, people who automatically assume that Masons are going to have a event with alcoholic beverages and it's going to turn into a shithouse mess. And that's got to stop.
There are ways around that.
You know, because realistically, there are policies and procedures and protocols, I would say, of certain officers who have responsibility to tell another Mason, you're done.
Well, every brother has that responsibility.
Every brother, but solely there's an officer.
Oh yeah,
who basically says
from a legal standpoint, you're done. Like, yeah, the master. It's like it's all on him. So if you're the master or a warden,
and realistically, I don't think many Masons do that.
No, probably don't take it as seriously as.
No, I'm saying like go to a Masonic venue with alcohol just for the sole purpose of getting smashed.
Oh no, that's not
most Masons don't want to do that. Yeah. Now, we've had table lodges here. I mean. Do some brothers get a little bit out of hand? Yeah, but most people, you know, they're regulated, they're taken care of, they're not allowed to drive. Like,
yeah,
there's, but it's amongst ourselves behind closed doors, so it's not like we're hurting anybody in public. You know,
no. In fact, bars have more liability, like regular bars, because right. I've seen people leave that really shouldn't leave.
Correct.
Local bars, right?
Right.
That's probably not going to be an issue you got a bar run by Masons, and it's not an issue when you have alcoholic, you know, beverages at table lodges or something.
Let
anybody drive. That's
let me give you a perfect example. Morningstar Lodge had never done a table lodge, ever. To least to my knowledge, it was never in our minutes. It was never recorded. None of that shit. Morningstar never did a table lodge.
Okay.
And we're going back some years now. We're going back, you know, a couple of years. I wasn't even a district deputy at this point. I think I was a past master, and that was about it.
Okay.
We did a table lodge, and it was our first ever. And
I can see the gears turning. How am I going to say
How am I going to word this? We had fun.
Okay.
Maybe too much fun.
Yeah, well, it was like an inaugural.
Yeah, inaugural first time. We had a little bit too much fun. Yeah. Everybody got home safe.
Right.
Everything was fine.
Yep.
Okay. Somebody had made mention that, you know, there was one brother who ran his mouth that, it was bad. It really wasn't that bad, but kind of got us in a little bit of hot water. For a
basically saying that it was too, there's too much alcohol flowing kind of thing. It wasn't as respectful as it should have been kind of deal. Yeah, okay.
Realistically, it was fine. This is the one that we were talking about where in the minutes I had recorded that brother Michael Claverino learned how gravity worked.
Okay. Put that in the minutes.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Okay. But, you know, as a lodge, I'm going to say matured. And we've done it a couple times. That really doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah,
because it's kind of like okay, we quote you know popped our balloon the first time, and as time went on, like it's not we don't do it for that anymore.
Right.
You know, the first time was more of like, all right, we all let our hair down. But
yeah,
then
it was kind of like the first time you ever had a table watch, too. So, you know, see it being celebratory.
No different than any 21-year-old who goes to the bar for the first time in his life.
Yep.
Pending you haven't been drunk or drinking before. You go out, you have that one night. Everybody's had that.
Yep.
You know, everybody's had that night. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, in I would say in our maturity, in our older age, I don't drink like that anymore.
No, I wouldn't be able to drink like that.
I have maybe a glass of bourbon, or I'll have, you know, whatever the hell I drink, and then I'm good. Like, I don't go to bars or locations for the sole, like, purpose of, let's get fucked
to get
up.
Smashed,
like,
yeah.
That's not my goal anymore.
If you really want to get smashed, you can just do it at home. I mean, it's kind of the safest.
And I don't think many Masons have that same mentality of, we're going to go to Table Lodge to get fucked up. I don't see it happening. It's more for the brotherhood. Yes, we have a couple drinks. Yes, we do some toasts. We have some food. I know lodges do venison Table Lodge, which are fucking awesome. But that's not kind of what our goal is anymore.
No, I go for the toasts, but it's the act of the toast, and it's what we're toasting, and it's like the energy behind it rather than the alcohol. Like, I'm not going to try to get smashed off of shot glasses of wine. Although, we do have some stewards where I will pour myself a very small measure, and then I go to you know, top everybody else off to, like, help out the stewards, and I come back and my glass is off for every fucking time. So we're never trying. No.
But my point in all this is, you know, those are the things I enjoy about Freemasonry, is going to the Table Lodge. That's, everybody loves going to the Table Lodge.
Yeah.
But what is the Table Lodge?
The Table Lodge.
It's a goddamn social event.
It's basically a party. Well, not a party. I wouldn't go quite that far, but yeah, it's
a social event, like a bar. You go have food. You sit at the tavern. You get some food. You have some drinks.
Yep.
That's the draw for Freemasons.
And there's some ritual involved. It's clearly still Masonic, but it is not as rigid as a lodge meeting in the lodge.
Right. I mean, how cool would it be to be a non-Mason walking into a Masonic bar and we're all doing our vivat toasts and, you know, clap stuff like that? People are like, what the fuck? That was cool. I mean, people love it when we do it here in the podcast, when we toast their names.
You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. If you're the type of person that's going to hate it, then we really don't want you there anyways.
So. Oh, okay. And I'll give you an example of this, and then we can kind of wrap this up. But I've been to the bar where the military's there.
Oh, yeah, okay. So same kind of...
Where they start with their... I mean, and actually, it's a viral video on the internet where it's like, you know, all the Marines are together and they start doing their singing.
Sea shanty?
Not a sea shanty. Oh, it's a Marine Corps. It's like, oh, what? Been to Vietnam, too? And they're all doing it together in unison, loud. Like, you walk in, you're like, that was freaking cool.
Yeah.
Like, think about, like, if Masons did that at the bar, how much of a draw that would be. People walk in and be like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, realistically,
I'm liking this business plan that you're putting together here.
Like that camaraderie of all Masons chanting and, I mean, yeah, it's no different than a sea shanty. That's what the pirates used to do.
Yeah.
Go to the bar.
Yep. I like this. I like the picture that you're painting.
It's a camaraderie. And that's what draws in new members.
Yep.
It's not make good men better. And I'm not shitting on the slogan, but nobody cares about a billboard driving down the road. They care about going to that bar where there's a bunch of Masons and they're all rah, rah, rah.
Well, no, here's the deal. That awareness is part of it, I think, but it's definitely not the only thing we need to be doing.
No.
So the billboards and stuff have their purpose, but what you're talking about is like the actualization of that promise that we're making, right? You can see it. It's tangible.
Yeah, it's and a draw.
It wouldn't be easy to buy this building, but
no.
I don't know if you got 20 in your pocket, we can like throw down, like, you know, pass the hat or whatever. But
just,
I mean, man, would it be? It would.
If
be
you
cool.
think about it, though, that's how you get people in the door doing shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Having an open house. I mean, I don't know about you, and again, I'm not.
That's tough because it's like a one-time thing.
It's a one-time thing.
Like, people have to like put it on their calendar and shit. Like, the general public just isn't going to.
General public
used to get like one or two.
We get. I think we had one or two
people come through.
That was it.
Yeah, do a couple tours and then you shut everything down. And
one or two people.
And back then, it was like everybody just went home after. They weren't hanging out in the library, having a beverage, and playing chess.
And realistically, you're regulating it to one day, one afternoon.
Yep.
Which I'm not going to lie to you, half the Masons don't even want to fucking be there anyway. But they're there because they have to be, and they want to move up in rank, if you really want to get technical.
Well, or they just want to, you know, help the craft out, because that's what brothers do. But yeah, nobody really wants
to be there. Nobody wants to be there.
Especially if nobody's going to show up. It's like, what are you just going to stand around? Like, that's
not. Nobody wants to be there. You stand around, you sit around, you're bored, you're reading your clock. Like, fuck, 2 hours.
Yeah.
But, I mean, realistically, now, if you had this other our idea, if you will, about having a location where anybody could show up at any point in time, you know.
Yeah, it's
on the outside of the bar.
It's a
perpetual
open house to masonry.
Put the lodge nights, you put the bar, the lodge hours, you put the bar hours up there, and people will eat. Why would you put the lodge hours up there?
Because you want people to know when they can come in.
When they can come and when they can't. And when the Masons are going to be there, like the majority of the Masons. And people will come to that. They'll be like, oh, well, their meeting gets over at 6 o'clock.
Or, so there's going to be a bunch of guys down there.
There's going to be a bunch of guys down there from 6 to 10 or whatever the hell. And that's, they'll come. Oh, we could meet them at this point. Oh, their lodge is from X to Y. Oh, we'll show up then. And it draws people in, because if you really wanted to join Masonry, I'm sorry, then I'm just going to, last point. What do we usually tell people? Oh, go on the Grand Lodge of whatever.
Well, when people ask us
how do you join?
Oh, yeah.
Most people are going to go, when I get to it.
Yeah.
But now,
but
if they
you're
see,
there and you got a pile of
there,
petitions.
A pile of petitions at the bar.
And he had a couple drinks. So here, sign this.
Not even the drinks.
No,
but people are going to come.
We don't do it that way.
No, we don't. But people are going to come to that location, the tavern, bar, inn, whatever you want to call it, pub. They're going to come to that for the sole purpose of, I'm coming to here to meet Masons in a neutral setting where I can figure out what I have to do next.
I'm wondering if such a place exists as we're describing somewhere around the world, and if any of you brothers or any listeners out there know of one, let us know, because I'd be really, really interested to see what that does for, you know, intake of new members.
Me too.
I'd love to know, like, the before and after, and kind of have, like, a frame of reference for that, because I think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously some problems there, like it costs money to buy an establishment like that. And,
right.
You know, licensing and all the legal and insurance and all that kind of crap. But if there's somebody out there who's done it,
hey Ken,
love to hear about it. Yeah.
What do you say we wrap it up? Because I got to pee.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we're just over an hour too. So.
Yep. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this, and
It was good to get out here in the morning.
I'm
right?
Get hate mail for this.
I should have made like bacon and eggs for us or something.
Should have.
Yeah. But I didn't, because I don't care.
All right. Well, for the Freemasons podcast, thank you guys for tuning in. I'm Right Worship Brother George Marjorie signing off.
And I'm Worship Brother Ken signing off.
Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
I gotta pee!
I know you do.